Welcome to this service of Lessons and Carols. With no further ado, let us begin with our first carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Wonderful carol that is. As you may have noticed, that wasn't the St Giles choir that was singing. It was in fact the choir from St Martin's in the Field, London. This year our choristers have brushed up their reading voices and are bringing each of our lessons. Thank you to each and every one of them that provided those recordings during lockdown too. And so we begin with our welcome and prayer. We have come together as the family of God in our Father's presence to celebrate the great festival of Christmas. In this service we hear and receive the good news of the birth of Christ, and we offer to God our thanksgiving in the joyful singing of carols. As we gather in the name of Christ, therefore we pray for the world he came to save. For the Church, that it may be enabled in our generation to surrender anew to God's holy wisdom and bear the good news of God's love to a needy world. For the world, which is already Christ's, that all its peoples may recognise their responsibility for its future and may be inspired by the message of Christmas to work together for the establishment of justice, freedom and peace everywhere. For all in special need, the sick, the anxious, the lonely, the fearful and the bereaved, that the peace and light of the Christ child may bring hope and healing to all who sit in darkness. We commend all whom we love and all who we have asked for our prayers to the unfailing mercy of our Heavenly Father, and say together as Christ himself taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lesson 1, read to us by Anne Sibley.
Christ's birth and kingdom foretold. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counsellor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of this government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And so we get to Carol 2, which is Hills of the North Rejoice. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is read to us by Jennifer Pickering.
The Annunciation. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
How appropriate now. Carol 3. The angel Gabriel from heaven came. We're speeding along at quite a rate now. Lesson 3 is read to us by Ken Morris. It's Luke 2 verses 1 to 7. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Carol 4, how appropriate. O little town of Bethlehem. Julie Kayward now brings us Lesson 4.
The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Carol 5, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And boy did they sing. Lesson 5, read to us today by Janet Cottrell.
Shepherds find a Messiah. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
A slightly more contemporary carol this time. Go Tell It on the Mountain. Carol 6.
Jesus Christ was born, and God sent us salvation, that blessed Christmas morn.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent, so we have our collect for this day. Let us pray. God, for whom we watch and wait, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of your Son. Give us courage to speak the truth, to hunger for justice, and to suffer for the cause of right, with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this takes us neatly to our final lesson. Lesson 6, read to us by our verger, Richard Beckinsale.
The Word becomes flesh and dwells with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Carol 7, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
the address. Before I begin, let us pray. Dear Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So today I'd like to go back to our second lesson and take a look at something unique and extraordinary, where heaven and earth meet. The angel Gabriel visits an engaged woman and tells her God thinks she's so highly thought of that she's now being asked to do something amazing, to be a mother. And not just anybody's mother, but her son is to be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end. So he's going to be a powerful, challenging, sovereign king. Now, we've had our fair share of spectacular headline stories, most of which were beyond our imagination this time last year. Yet, this story of Jesus' coming to earth can be the bit that gets folks wondering whether or not the Bible can be believed. Virgin gives birth to Son of God. No wonder theologian N.T. Wright said this story is so explosive and so controversial. But it did happen. So what is going on and what does it teach us today? Well, what we have going on in this passage is a conversation between two persons, a woman and an angel, and it shows us two things. One, which is easy to read, but is hard for us worldly wise people to believe. Virgins do not tend to give birth to babies, although fascinatingly enough, scientists do say that it's theoretically possible. A female living creature can reproduce without a male, but if they did, it would always be a female that is produced. So the first thing Luke is trying to help us see here in this passage of hope is the uniqueness of Jesus. Secondly, what is going on with Mary? How can she say, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled? Is she sure? Let's look at the uniqueness of Jesus first. I'll get back to Mary in a minute. Now, I know that there has been many thoughts and arguments about the possibility of God becoming man and doing so through incarnation of a young woman, but I'm inclined to go with Frank Skinner on this one, the comedian. And he said there's been too much apologising for the magic in religion. People say we don't actually believe in the virgin birth and we're not certain about the resurrection. Don't give in to them. If you believe in God, all bets are off, says Frank. There can be angels, the Red Sea can part. I want to feel absolute mystery. Now, we might disagree with Frank and I on that, but if there hadn't been a virgin birth, then what would have made Jesus any different than, say, John the Baptist? He had a pretty special birth. His mum had been barren for years and then, well, you know, it happened. She was blessed with a miraculous conception, even though her childbearing years were behind her. But Jesus' birth, which we are celebrating now and in earnest, was unique. God came and dwelt within her, overshadowed her. God was involved right from the start. It was important that Luke made that clear to us. God became flesh, and slowly, one step at a time, people, including his mother Mary, came to see Jesus for who he really was, the promised Messiah, King of Kings, our salvation. The virgin birth highlighted quite astonishingly God's ability to reassert his power to reshape life. The word became flesh. That's why Luke highlights the fact that she's a virgin. It's important to make it clear that although she is legally the wife of Joseph, he's not had anything to do with this child's conception. The greatness of Mary's son is not based on his humanity. He is divine from birth. He is the Son of God, intact before his birth. The way this bit is written uses a Jewish literary form that makes it clear to his readers that he is telling and recalling history, not a story. So how was Mary able to say, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled"? It's quite clear from Scripture that Mary was not forced into pregnancy by God. The arrival of the angel didn't panic her. She was aware that they existed. In fact, she was more concerned by being approached at all. Such a humble person, quietly unassuming, surprised that the God she knew and worshipped had singled her out for a personal message. Can you imagine if one of the Queen's guards turned up in your living room unannounced and started telling you how Queen Elizabeth had noticed how brilliantly you were doing as a citizen of Great Britain, and now she had a special task for you to do? I don't know about you, but I would be shocked, even though I have sworn allegiance to her as a vicar. I really don't expect her to have a clue who I am. Yet here is Mary, one of God's chosen people, being spoken to by one of his messengers. She's an average young woman, innocent, and living an average Jewish first century life. Yet this is where God has chosen to come and ask if she will serve the kingdom of God by being the way the promised one, the Messiah, can enter human life, at the level of an everyday experience with an everyday person. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Then the angel explains, and that is that. "May your word to be fulfilled," she concludes in verse 38. Service, that willingness to do things for others, is often given a low rating in our world. We prefer others to serve us, yet Mary was not fazed by the request of God via an angel. Just needed reassurance that he had it all in hand. Her engagement with God throughout her life had prepared her for this. She knew who God was, recognised the angel, so wasn't afraid to hear his message. A bit overwhelmed that he'd bothered to speak to her, for sure, but the request rang as authentic too. She knew God had promised to send her people a saviour. She and most of her contemporaries just thought it would come in a different way. But then, as Gabriel said, nothing is impossible for God. I was watching a YouTube clip the other day, and it got me thinking, because it was asking and looking at a question that said, "Who are you?" The video explored and was looking at, was it about what you did or what you achieved or what others thought about you? Does that make you who you are? In the end, I decided it was all about identity. How I identify it myself, that's who I am. But it also determines how I approach life. For me, I'd say I'm a Christian, a person whose being is in Christ, which means I have within me the promise God gave to me by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. His Spirit is in me, and the Lord of all God overshadows me. So I know that he is with me no matter what is going on in my day-to-day life. For Mary, the answer of who she is comes in the first half of verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant." Mary's identity is in God. That's who she is. She has God within her through faith, and as such, she has no problem consenting to his request. She might not fully understand the implications of the decision she has made, but she knows enough of God to take that bold step and say, "Okay, Lord, let's go for this. I'm in." She was able to get beyond the fear of what others would say, how nervous she felt, and believed what God had just said about her. "You who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary accepted that she was identified as a person who had amazing faith in God, and as such, it enabled her to step outside her own comfortable, safe place of certainty into a new place that was shaped and ordered by God, trusting that whatever happened, he was capable and willing to protect and guide her on this journey into a new stage of her life, being the mother of the Son of God. As we sit in our own homes, on the brink of celebrating Jesus' unique birth, is it possible to think, to believe, that God could ever say to us, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you"? And do you think you could ever respond with the confidence of Mary and say, "I am the Lord's servant"? Amen. And now a moment to pause and to reflect with our carol, the Coventry Carol. As this Lessons and Carols draws to a close, let us pray this short prayer together before the blessing. Hidden God, we long for your coming. We are restless to know your presence with us. We will wait and watch, awake each day to the signs of your arriving. Amen. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul and body, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, be with you now and evermore. Amen. And so let us end with our ninth carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for our carols and lessons today. I hope you have a blessed and safe Christmas time, and perhaps you'll be able to come and join us on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. God bless. Stay safe.